Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today because we have gathered, not out of ritual or out of obligation, but we've gathered under the name of Jesus that gives us hope and peace, not only for today, but for eternity. So help us to rally to the name of Jesus this morning. Help us to be grateful, to joyfully submit to your lordship. Help us to bring our lives into alignment with what you have for us. Remind us in this season what it means to wait with hope and expectation for you to come and restore all things. We pray that we would be attentive, that we would say yes to your invitation to arrive in your presence this morning. Be with us as we seek your face. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated. Welcome to Park Street. We are grateful that you are with us this morning. We are in the season of Advent. We are following the Christian calendar and recognizing that different seasons provide us with different invitations. And the invitation that lies before the people of God in this season, not only at Park Street, but all over the world, is to anticipate and long for the coming of Christ, not only remembering his coming in Bethlehem many, many years ago, but to anticipate a second coming when he restores all things to the glory of the Father. I read recently that the season leading up to Christmas is a magnifier. If you have a lot of joy in your life, if you have close relations with your family, if you have things that make sense, Christmas, the season leading up to it, Advent magnifies those things. So in Christmas, you feel even more loving and even more settled and even more homey. And if you are someone who doesn't have those things and you're feeling disconnected, you're feeling confused, or you're feeling frustrated, maybe you're grieving, maybe you're dealing with some kind of hardship, Christmas can magnify those things, right? So that you're feeling even more lonely. You're feeling even more lamentful. That's kind of what we're talking about in the bleak midwinter, the idea that for some, this season isn't a season of joy, but rather it's a season of despair, and that is the very place that Christ shows up, in the dark coldness of despair. So whether things are going great for you or whether things are not going great for you, what should be true of all Christians is that we long for the return of Jesus. So it makes sense that Advent would magnify that longing for him to come in his goodness and his grace. Next week, we've got a guest preacher coming your way. This one, you might have seen this devastatingly handsome fellow before. His name's Cameron Johnson. Cameron has served really faithfully for several years as our youth pastor. We changed his job title last year. I don't know if you ever knew that. Let me tell you what Cameron does, if you're wondering. Cameron is the associate pastor of Youth and Families, and really we're kind of focusing a lot of his stuff next year on kind of three key areas. The first is he's going to continue to help us equip parents to be the primary disciple makers of their children. I hope that you've heard that before, that if you're a part of Park Street Brethren Church, we expect you to actually teach your children about Jesus. That's your job. Now, we would love to supplement that in any way we can. We would love to point them to Christ. We would love to encourage them in faithfulness to Jesus, but that job is primarily your job, and what Cameron's going to be continuing doing is developing resources, empowering parents to do just that. He's going to be overseeing Taylor. As Taylor continues as our youth coordinator, he's been doing a great job. Two other things Cameron's going to be doing. We're going to be relaunching our internship program. We've had an internship program that's been very fruitful. We've launched men and women into ministry that have come through here. And we feel a renewed sense of urgency to develop leaders that are going to be following Jesus and faithful into the future. So Cam's going to help that. And then Cameron's also going to help us by organizing some shepherding and pastoral care systems. The church is growing enough that we sometimes feel that we can't possibly get to everybody the way we want to make sure that you know that we're praying for you, we're thinking of you, we want to support you, not only in the good times, but in the times of trial as well. And so Cam's going to be helping with all of that. So that's what he does. Hooray. Andy likes that. This week, we're going to be in the book of 2 Peter, the kind of text that was called for today by the liturgical calendar is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. And I read those verses and I loved them. And I thought, you know what? If we read the first seven verses of the third chapter, it would make even more sense. So you guys get bonus verses today. Stoked on it. Man, one of the things we love about Park Street is those bonus verses. So today, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. This is the word of God for the people of God to the glory of God. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was diluted and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some would understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So there, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind, its patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. So our office was contacted last week by a gentleman looking for a copy of their baptism certificate. He wasn't sure of the day or the year, but he's pretty sure that he was baptized in the 1960s and wondered if we could find a record of that. And the answer was, yes, we could. There was some great record keeping done by those who have come before us. And I have these two giant plastic bins in my closet in my office. I got them, blew off the dust, you know, went through those records and found out that, yes, he was baptized on November 17th, 1963 by Pastor Phil Lersch. And so we were able to give him that information and send him on his way. But of course, now I've got the bins out. And I want to spend time looking through this stuff, and it's fascinating. And so I spent the better part of a day just looking through all these records, correspondences, articles, bulletins that were printed from special services and different church programs through the years. It was a really fun time for me. And I was reminded of a few things. The first is I'm the 24th person to serve this church as a senior pastor. I'm the second youngest ever of that list to be called into the senior position. The youngest being that same Phil Lersch, who baptized that feller. He was called at age 29 to serve at Park Street. And then this was a new one that I didn't know. I am now the second longest tenured at Park Street Brethren Church. Can you believe that? This is, you've been suffering under this. Wow. Well, I didn't expect applause. So obviously Pastor Arden Gilmer served for 30 years from 1979 to 2009. I've got a ways to go. But then the next one was J. Allen Miller in 1894 to 1902. Next year is going to be my ninth year, y'all. And so that was humbling, to realize that. So I'm second in the charts, but also second in your hearts, I think is true. And I was going through all these things and it made me feel so small. I don't know, in a good way. It made me feel connected to something larger than my individual life. It made me think about all these men and women who lived and attempted to serve faithfully that went ahead, and how literally a century of history could be summarized so briefly in a few pieces of history that we could glean from. At the beginning of this chapter, the author of 2 Peter tells us why he's written this letter. He's writing to remind the people and to stimulate wholesome thinking, to encourage them to pursue Jesus. And also in verse 2, recall the words of the prophets. There's something important for the people of God to realize that we are the inheritors of a long, long legacy of faith, right? That there are stories and there are histories that are precious that have been handed down to us, and we would be wise on occasion to sit down and recall where we've come from, how God has moved, the things that he has done in our faith community. And the next few verses in this chapter give us the reason why that recollection, that remembering is so important. Why should we do that? Because faith in Christ can come under scrutiny and ridicule, right? There are always the scoffers. And in this instance, in verses 3 and 4 of 2 Peter chapter 3, the scoffers are scoffing because there has been, since the resurrection of Jesus himself and his ascension into heaven, there has been a conviction by the church that he established that he will return. He's coming back. He didn't just go away and say, you guys got it from here. But rather, he gave us a commission that he will come back and see fulfilled. And so we are anticipating his return. That's been true. And yet there are these scoffers who are saying, where he at? Right? You keep saying Jesus is returning. Things keep going on like they always have been. Maybe you are all full of it and there is no God and there is no Jesus and there is no, and it's all a bunch of hogwash. And if that were true at the time of this letter's writing in the first century, perhaps it's also true today in the 21st century. Some time has passed since this letter, this epistle has been written. And Peter says, we'll just call it the author of Peter for the sake of today, in chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, that these scoffers who are criticizing our faith and saying there is no second coming, there was no first coming, all this stuff, they're forgetting something. In verse 5, they're deliberately forgetting something. Peter touches on something that he talked about in chapter 2 of this epistle, which is God's, when we look back in history, we do see that God has moved in powerful ways. We have seen his hand at work in different avenues. And one that he references in verses 5 through 7 here is the flood. So they're deliberately forgetting that not only did God create the world, but he's already destroyed this thing once before. He can do it again if he wants to, right? He promised not to do it by water again, but that doesn't like get rid of the option of lighting everything on fire, which is the very exciting conclusion of the earth that Peter is telling us to look forward to. Did any of you have like a warm sense in your heart of thinking, like, get out the marshmallows? Like, it was just me. No, yeah, we'll get to that part, but we'll talk about everything getting lit on fire in a second. But It's super encouraging. But before we do, let's turn our attention to verses 8 and 9. Do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The author referencing Psalm 90, verse 4. This idea that we probably keep time differently than an eternal being, right? Those of us who measure our lifespans in years and sometimes are obsessing about the minutes in a day, we probably think about time differently than a being that exists outside of time and has always existed. And then this critical, critical insight in verse 9 that is really the heart of what I think this passage is trying to show us. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If you've been like me and you've ever thought, God, where are you? Why don't you come down and fix this mess? Why don't you rend the heavens and come in judgment like we talked about last week? Why do you allow bad things to happen? Why do you allow bad people to exist and sometimes succeed? Why, with all this evil and tragedy, what is delaying you? And we have our answer this morning. It's his compassion. It's his compassion. He's not tardy. He's not distracted. He's not aloof. He's compassionate. His heart is for all people to come and know him. And he's delaying only for our benefit. Think about the irony of that. Those who are mocking the idea of a return of Christ are the very people Christ is showing his compassion to by staying away, giving them an opportunity to experience the goodness of the gospel and the message of salvation. But the warning in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. I heard this parenting life hack. I'm always trying to collect the parenting life hacks, you know, because parenting is challenging in 2023. And one of the life hacks was, around Christmas time, kids get squirrely. You know, we've got a house full of tiny terrorists at our house, and they start getting real sugary, they start getting real antsy about stuff. And so the suggestion was, get a bunch of empty cardboard boxes and wrap them nicely and put them under the tree. And then whenever one of the kids just gets a little bit out of line, take one of those empty boxes and just throw it in the fireplace. To motivate better behavior. What? You guys are getting free parent hacks at Park Street Brethren this morning. You know, just keep them on a toast. And this passage is suggesting to us, it's not just the empty boxes that we could throw on the fire, but that every gift you open for Christmas, what a wonderful thought, every gift you open for Christmas is ultimately going to be in flames. I wish you a Merry Christmas. Just like what? Yeah, it's a fire sale in the most serious sense of the word. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? He asks in verse 11. You ought to live holy and godly lives. And so what the author is telling us this morning is that there's this day that we're all waiting in which Christ comes and he vanquishes evil and he destroys sin and death forever. And with that comes the destruction of all of the brokenness, all the evil, all of the pain. But what is pure remains. Everything that's of not significant value will perish, but the things that matter will endure. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15 says, "No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, capital D, the same day that Peter's talking about, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames." This return of Jesus that we so look forward to is a purifying fire that isn't necessarily meant to punish, although punishment will occur, as much as it is meant to expose the things that we can cleverly hide with all of our masks and pretending. I love the Robert Frost poem, "Nothing Gold Can Stay." I'm gonna read it to you this morning. That's how much I like it. "Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes today, down today. Nothing gold can stay." There's this sense when you open a bin of old photos with names of, oh, these were real people with real dreams and real struggles and real joys and real pains, and now they're gone. And the reminder of, oh, my name too will be on a list, and there'll probably be some smart aleck up here making jokes. Nothing gold can stay. It's Christmas time. Maybe you've been listening to Burl Ives like me, and you've been listening to the song "Silver and Gold." And these things that we think are so precious in the eternal view, do they matter at all? And again, I think there's this great tension that the Christian feels in the Christmas season, because there is such a joy in gathering together and remembering the story of Christ's coming. But I also think there's also a danger of being distracted, because much of what we will exchange this holiday season will not ultimately stay. You understand? Nothing gold can stay. In the history of Park Street, I found the bulletin for the dedication ceremony of the old church sanctuary, 1926. We're tearing it down next year, right? Because nothing gold can stay. So then, Peter asks us, what kind of lives ought you live? We're looking forward to the return of the Lord. It's not scary, I promise. I know the fire and the everything being destroyed sounds intimidating. But it's the way the new heavens and the new earth is ushered in. And in his goodness and grace, the light of the world reveals the motivation of every heart. And anything that is not holy and pure and beautiful and perfect and light, it cannot inherit this eternal kingdom. It has to go. Nothing gold can stay. But what's really precious, the love and peace of believers founded on Jesus Christ, that stays forever. I'm hoping, and we're trying in our house, and I'm praying for you too, to find the balance. Let's not, can we have a, like an agreement between ourselves, not to stress out too much this year on the stuff that's under the tree that's ultimately destined for fire. Like, can we make an agreement? Like, maybe they get the Pokemon, maybe they won't. Who cares? Like, you know what? Let's make every effort possible to make this season one of holy anticipation, where we're living lives that are pure and blameless and full of the peace that only comes from knowing that not only is Christ Lord, He's the Lord who will return to set everything to right. Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, our holy hope is in you. And we pray that you would help us to not get so caught up in the temporary, fleeting things that we miss eternity's invitation that is always before us. We pray instead of obsessing about gifts this Christmas, we would instead obsess about sharing the love of Christ that we have and the hope of His second coming. We pray that for those who are seeking your face and attempting to do your will, that there would be so much opportunity this season to be your hands and feet. We pray that we would remember that the only thing delaying your coming is your great compassion. May we also have your great compassion for those who have yet to know you. May we be the hands and feet, the one who cries out in the wilderness to prepare for the coming of this good and glorious God. May we be the ones who share not only in our abundance of resources, but sharing our very hearts and our very lives with one another. We pray, God, that you would give us the ability to sort out the temporary things that will ultimately fade away, and to allow you to purify us, make us precious because of our great abiding faith in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name, who was and is to come, and all of God's people said, amen. Let's sing the doxology together this morning. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. When someone passes away, we remember all the things that they accomplished in their lives. And as someone who has officiated several funerals, I can tell you, when I'm telling you all their accomplishments and all the things that they did, It's important and noteworthy, but it doesn't warm the hearts of those who are gathered. Right? But as soon as you start talking about what that person loved, the things that they did out of their desire to serve Jesus, all of a sudden there's this warmth and remembrance like, oh yeah, those were the things that mattered. It wasn't about their accomplishments or what they accrued over the course of their lifetime. It was about who they loved and how they served. Nothing gold can stay. Receive this benediction this morning. May you live such pure and holy lives that when you are remembered after the Lord has called you home, that memory will be more precious to those who are still here than any gems or silver or valuable thing this world could offer. May you forsake the temptation this season to obsess over things that will not be here very long. May you make it your goal this Advent to pursue eternal things and give them freely to those you cherish. We pray that you would do this all by the power and the grace and the glory of Jesus Christ, our saving Lord. And God's people said, amen and amen. Go in peace, church. We love you.